there's the annoying song on the Independent Worm Saloon, and you're playing with the speed of your voices a bit more on that one. Yeah, how close are you to, have you seen or ever mixed bodily juices with Ween or anything?
Well, yes, we have, actually. We dig Ween, and in fact...
We did Ween.
You dig Ween?
Oh, yeah, oh, dig, I thought you said that you did them, D-I-D.
Well,
we did Ween.
I think they did us, but Andrew Weiss is one of the brothers of Ween, and is also plays bass and produces them as well. And he also played bass on this new record.
Oh,
so we are down with the Ween crew.
Tell me a little bit about Jingle of a Dog's Collar.
That is a beautiful pop song. There's a pop song, and it's really goofy. We break out into like the most weakest white boy funk towards the end, but we like to think it's kind of more like early Talking Heads, kind of weak style white boy funk kind of thing. And it is actually a bittersweet song about death and dying. Well, if all you want is just to hear the jingle of a dog's collar, that would be a good sound to hear right now. And
I think you've covered all the bases there.
it's kind of like the Smiths, you know, like how the Smiths always have like happy jingly songs and then the most depressing lyrics of all time. I don't know. It is our tribute to Morrissey, that song, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Now, there's all the other projects which you guys sort of float between. Whereabouts are you at the moment? Are you very much just clued into the Butthole Surfers thing, or do you still have your thumb in many pies?
Yeah, well, we're kind of working on a project right now called the Butthole Surfers, you know, so we're kind of pursuing that project for the next few months, as we have been. But yeah, I mean, like, actually, like Paul, it's going to get 1 month off, like we all get 1 month off here in the next, this fall. And Paul's going to produce because he likes producing, and I've got a record label working, and that keeps me busy. But fortunately, at this label has grown. There's now people actually who are employed who can actually run the label without me being there, which is just as well. Sometimes I don't want to know what's going on, you know. And Givi, I'm sure, will find another Jim Jarmusch film that will potentially be banned somewhere, and. to act in.
Yeah, sure. And how about Drain, working in Drain? You doing much work in them, or with them?
Yeah, actually, we just put out a new album, about a month ago or 2 months ago or something. And it's a disco record, and I really like it. I mean, it's totally, to use a bad phrase, it's trip-hop, man. I'm embarrassed to say it's trip-hop. I dig that stuff, you know, so...
So you do have green Lycra bike shorts somewhere.
Well, yeah, man. I'm there in the middle of the dance floor at all the raves, you know, with my flashlight and my whistle, you know, and that's me. That's right.
Do you find there's lots of trappings also, you know, in your part of the world and, you know, actually being a butthole surfer? Are there lots of trappings and you're collecting cars on the butthole surfer paycheck and stuff?
Collecting cards?
Cars.
Oh, cars.
Yeah,
no.
Sorry, cars. Cars. Yeah.
I wish we were collecting cars. That would be a nice thing. I think I'm collecting... used scabs? What am I saying? All scabs are used, I guess. I don't know. Actually, I am collecting used scabs. I have a nice bottle of, like, other people's scabs I'm collecting. And it's a proven fact that you can, It's okay to eat a scab, but only half of one. You can't eat a whole scab.
What is that?
I don't know, man. I'm tripping.
So you can show the other half to somebody else. And say, look half of what I ate. I've noticed sometimes you stand aside for a drum machine, like on a Lonesome Bulldog's got, I don't know, it could be a Casio keyboard, it could be a drum machine. Do you hate electrical instruments, or do you hug them as much as we all do?
Oh man, I love technology, man. I love programming computers and drum machines to get it to do retarded stuff, you know. I'm way into that. To my knowledge, we're like one of the first punk rock bands to be into sampling. We got a Prophet 2000, one of the first commercial or like affordable samplers that was out there, and we are all like MIDI freaks, and we all enjoy doing the programming on Pepper. So you know, I love that stuff. I mean, like, you know, to me, like, all that technology is thing to be like taken advantage of and to be exploited and used in best possible or most retarded possible ways at times.
Hmm.
Like you mentioned the Drain record, and like really what all the Drain record is just like nonstop programs and drum machines and samples, and like I play on it here and there, but actually it's mostly computer driven, and I love that stuff.
Yeah. Do you really want to be associated with all the very basic chord changey supposed punk bands which are coming out now?
Well, I don't want to be associated with them, hell no. But the fact of the matter is that when these kids when these young whippersnappers like Rancid and Green Day and stuff, I mean, like, I'm sorry, I was seeing these shows back in the early '80s, you know, before they even had their diapers changed. The thing was that the Buffalo Surfers, when we formed in '83, we were a hardcore band that was intentionally not playing hardcore music, because at that point in time, hardcore had gotten so boring, so one-dimensional, so fast, so humorless, with so many rules, that we would go on stage like playing slow, playing Donovan covers, wearing the most goofy clothes possible, having saxophones, I mean, like, doing everything wrong just to alienate punk rockers. Like, we were punk rockers out to alienate punk rockers. And because of that, you know, since we refused to succumb to the rules of punk rock, we refused to play punk rock. Well, flash forward 15 years, we've kind of gotten over it. And now, like, it's a blast to play. And, like, you know, I mean, like, I loved hardcore. I mean, I loved Black Flag, The Germs, Minor Threat, like, all that stuff, you know, but we never really began to play it until sort of recently, and it's so easy, and it's so fun. I enjoy it. I mean, like, we've kind of, like, tried our hand at virtually everything else in the world, but we never really played punk rock until very recently, so...
Are you bunkered up in a hotel room at the moment, or sitting in some salubrious Capitol Music offices?
Oh man, yeah, no, I'm in some motel somewhere near on the outskirts of Seattle, Washington. I don't know, and there's like militia movements all around here, and it's kind of freaky. Although there are some nice pine trees outside, it's kind of nice. But then again, I see like the whole like militia people all around here, you know.
So what's it like talking to a bunch of journalists in a country you've probably never been to?
Actually, I've been to Australia. We played there, like, I don't know, like maybe, I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago or something.
Oh, cool.
We loved it. In fact, it reminded us of Texas. It really reminded me of Texas big time, I think, because of the...
Rednecks? I hope it's not the rednecks.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's part of it. I mean, like, you know, we share a real similar culture of, like, you know, of a society that comes from like an outlaw background. You know, both Texas and Australia share that commonality in a real like cowboy kind of ethic, and the intense heat, and then like this is the huge sense of vastness and also isolation from like the rest of the world. I mean, like, when you grow up in the middle of Texas, you feel that, you know, and I kind of sense that as well in Australia. So I mean, like, and I got along really well with Australians. They have a really great sense of humor. You know, they don't take themselves, you know, seriously, much like Texans do. You know, so.
Cool.
Down with Australia, man. Good for Australia. Yes.